Hello, and welcome to the Student Ministry Conversations podcast with your hosts, Brent Aiken, David Pruitt, and Russell Martin. This podcast is all about equipping, encouraging, and inspiring youth pastors weekly with topics that are brought to the table by youth pastors from all over the world. And now, here's your host for this week, Brent Aiken. Hey, and welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time listening to us, we want to welcome you and invite you over to our website, studentministryconversations.org, where you can find all of our previous episodes, show notes, blog articles, and much more. Our goal is that you are inspired, encouraged, and the things that you hear on this podcast can help equip you to be a better student pastor for the church that you're serving in. Before we get started, I do have a quick announcement. Next week is our 100th episode for the podcast, which is such an exciting venture. Honestly, we never thought that we'd reach episode 100, and here we are at episode 100, and it's going to be special next week. So next week, we are doing our episode live on Zoom at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. It is going to be broadcast live on Facebook and YouTube, and then it will be put on Spotify and Apple and everything else at later that afternoon. But we are excited to bring our 100th episode to you live. We're going to have giveaways with books and resources that we've been given from different guests we've had over the course of our podcast so far. We're going to invite a few previous guests to come back on the show and talk with us. And then also, we are just going to have an opportunity where you, if you are listening to this and you want to jump in, we're going to invite a few of you to jump in and share your favorite things about the podcast, maybe an episode that stood out to you. But either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a party. We are excited, and we cannot wait for next week, April 20th at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. So today we are sitting down with a good buddy of mine, Mark Beasley. And Mark has been a youth pastor for roughly 15 years, and he is going to continue the Students on the Fringe series with part four, and that's reaching the unconnected student. And so without further ado, this is a great episode. I can't wait for you to hear it. So let's dive right in. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today we are sitting down with Mark Beasley. And so Mark has been a buddy of mine for a long time. Super excited to have him on the show. And man, what a big deal. Episode 99. Super pumped that you were able to come on the show and then continue what I started kind of as just like a hunch of like this mentality and this mindset of like the students on the fringe. And like the students that like really churches either have a hard time reaching or either have maybe they just don't know how to reach that particular group. And so we're excited to do Students on the Fringe part four today, which is going to be unconnected students. But before we get into that, Mark, tell us about you. Tell us where you're from, family, anything else you want to share.
All right. Yeah, Brent, known you now, what, probably a little over 10 years in our little group that we've had through DYM, Facebook, and then Thursday morning calls and prayer and connection. Been married to my wife, my sweetheart, Jessica, for 21 years. This year will be 22 years. Three kids, three boys. Two are in college now, and one is a freshman. And now we're kind of feeling that, like, almost empty nesting coming. It's coming. So now we're proud dog parents now. So at any point during this, you may hear them, and usually behind in Zoom calls, there's usually like kids running around. You may see dogs jump around, but I've been a youth pastor now with my wife for a little over 15 years. We are literally, tonight is our last night as full-time youth pastors. And we take off one hat and put on another hat as lead pastors of At the Table Ministries, starting a home church right in our home, May 7th. So we'll be doing youth ministry still, but trying to help push that along to help someone else step in that call. But yeah, been in youth ministry now for a little over 15 years with my wife, and loving it.
That's awesome, dude. Man, I'm pumped for At the Table Ministries. I'm excited to see that as we go. And man, that might be another podcast down the road. Who knows? I mean, that is one thing that we really haven't covered, is stepping out of youth ministry to step into a senior pastor position. I definitely think there's some wisdom and some insight as far as that goes too. So, but with that being said, our topic today is, like I said, how to reach unconnected students. And so we've spent some time on this series, the Students on the Fringe series, talking about students that are special needs, that are foster, that are homeless. And so when you say unconnected kids, what do you mean specifically?
I look out across our crowd of kids, and you look out and you see the ones that are not watching you. They're not paying attention. They're on their phones. They're just totally disconnected from the group and almost like not a part of, you know, your local community there. They're there either because they have to, they're there because friends invited them, but they're just not really engaged in a service. They're not engaged with other students, none of your events. They're just sometimes there. Like I said, a lot of times because the parents will make them come. Or a friend has asked them to come, but they're just not connected to the group. You don't feel a connection with them. And it just, a lot of times we can go and just let that remain and not focus on those kids because we have so many other kids to focus on. But I've found it's almost more important to reach those that are unconnected for me, and let my leaders or, you know, my staff maintain the rest of those groups and those friendships. And then, and I have just this love for reaching those unconnected, those that aren't plugged in currently in the.
Yeah, Easter that's group. Awesome. And man, what a wide range that can be. Cause I mean, you have the people that have never been to church that are, like you said, that are brought from a friend brings them, and they've never stepped foot in a church. And so they're like, I have no idea what to do. Yeah. You have the other aspect of kids that literally their parents drag them.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately, the other aspect of it is sometimes, man, the teenagers that are Christian fall into this category too. And it's this mindset of like, man, I already know this. Like, I know everything. There's nothing that I can learn. There's nothing that you can teach me, kind of thing like that. I've studied the Bible, like all this stuff. And it's like, man,
the pastor's kid.
I was that kid once. And now I'm, it's a struggle. And so why does it seem like this area is such like a hard to reach area?
For me, you know, because every area all over the United States and world have different circumstances than what I have had. But for me, I find it difficult because sometimes I don't feel like I can reach them. Like maybe they don't like me. Maybe they don't like what I'm saying, or sometimes we have these thoughts in our heads, like maybe I'm not cool enough. I'm not able to reach these kind of kids. How do I reach these kids if they're not even listening to me here? I think sometimes for me, it's just, I worry that they're not connected to, they're not buying in. And so I think it's just super important to not first think it's anything to do with yourself or even what the ministry is offering. It might not even have anything to do with you, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's immediately a problem that a lot of us jump into, is it's like, well, they hate me, or they don't like what we're doing. And it almost seems like we jump to this realm of like, oh, well, we have to make it appealing for them. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know if it technically applies, but I think we might overshoot the leave the 99 for the one sometimes. But we don't do it in the right context. And sometimes we change the programmatic structure and of going after that one instead of going after their heart instead. Exactly. And so it becomes a real big issue, because then, I mean, the question that I would go about is, how do you specifically go about engaging those students? Maybe the students that are uninterested or apathetic, But how do you go about engaging them first? But then I guess a tag on question to that would be, how do you go about engaging them and not losing the interest of the remainder of the students?
So like you said, I don't think it's about changing the whole program. I think if we try to change our whole program to fit and try to entertain and try to compete with what the world offers to grab their attention, I don't think youth ministers are ever going to win. We cannot compete with the technology sometimes of the world. We can bring in as much fun as possible. But like you said, the key is, how do we gain their heart? How do we gain their heart? And so I don't think we change our programs necessarily. That might be needed in some situations. But what I've found is, to get their heart, I must come to them, you know, not them coming to me in youth service, but me going to them. I was sitting here thinking before the show of different ones that stand out. I mean, we could literally talk about this for hours because we
have time, man. I'd love to hear one.
There's so many people stand out, but I have, Ben, and Ben stands out in my mind. Carl stands out in my mind. And then, I had one more I wanted to share today. But we'll get to them. But the first student I had back years and years ago when I first started in youth ministry, his name was Ben. And Ben was not in school. He had quit school. He was just staying at home, wouldn't work. He wasn't working. He just had pretty much given up on a future. Ben didn't want to come to church. His mom begged me, is there any way that you could reach him? He won't come to church. He doesn't believe in God. He just is so hard-hearted. He's giving me problems at home. Is there anything you think you could do? And immediately I'm like, if you can't do it, what am I going to do? And I said, I just thought, the kid likes to eat, you know, he'll like to eat. So I called him and I said, hey, Ben, what are you doing on around noon on Wednesdays? And he's like, nothing, just chilling at home. And I said, well, Ben, I'm going to pick you up. Let's go get some Taco Bell. And so we started, and for probably 4 or 5 weeks, every Wednesday at noon, we started getting Taco Bell. One week I dropped him off back at home. His mom called me in tears and goes, what did you do? And I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? I don't remember. We had Taco Bell. And she's like, I don't know, you and Ben were talking. And all of a sudden he said he's going back to school tomorrow. And so, you know, just in those times, yeah, just in these times of eating some tacos and just no agenda, just loving on this kid. He just gets this idea that he wants to go back to school. One Wednesday I picked him up from school, and it was like 3:30 now. We had to move him to 3:30. And I said, well, if I pick you up for Taco Bell still, then I'm going to need you to come to my youth room, because I don't have much time between our time of hanging out after your school to where I have to begin cleaning up the youth room and getting it ready and getting service ready for that night. He goes, I'll come help. So that's he started coming, and he watched me for a first few rows of setting chairs up and organizing the way I liked them and organizing all the cords running down the middle aisle the way I like them. And so he then took over that job and started doing that job. And, you know, started coming to youth service. Then he gave his heart to the Lord. Then he started helping lead. And so, I mean, just went from totally disengaged, totally not even wanting to be in church, to where I just went and had lunch with the kid, loved on him. We talked about, you know, things I totally had no interest in, like anime and, you know, other things that he just loved. I had no idea anything about it. So, but started liking some of the things he liked and found out, wow, these are some cool things. And connected with him. And yeah, it was heartfelt. It was real. It wasn't, there was no gimmick behind it. I wasn't just doing it because I wanted a parishioner, a church member to be happy, a mom to be happy. But I didn't want to just go at this like I'm trying to accomplish or win this kid. I simply wanted a relationship with them.
That's awesome.
And it turned out where he went back to school, graduated. He got plugged into church, all because I didn't wait for him to come to me. I went to him and had some lunch with him. It was that simple.
And that person now is Billy Graham. No, I'm just kidding.
Billy Graham's assistant.
No, but I mean, how cool is that? Like, and in the grand scheme of things, like, I think sometimes we feel so defeated before we even start. And yeah. In the grand scheme of things, most times you have one of these apathetic, unreached kids. It's, man, like, I just want to know that you care. Like,
yeah.
And so when you show that, man, investment happens, because they're like, okay, if you invest in me, I'll invest in you.
Yes.
But a lot of times we have to make that first step. And I'm not saying that that's like a cut and dry every single scenario.
Exactly.
I mean, not every kid's going to come to Jesus over Taco Bell. But yeah. With that being said, like, you just have to show that you're invested and you care.
Yep.
Man, that's an amazing, amazing story. You said you had one more though. So I want
to, I have another one that's really good. It's actually it's a car full of them. I have current students now, three kids that weren't really attending church faithfully. They were absolutely, disconnected in our youth service, literally so much so that a couple of them, we have this huge jumbo beanbag that they would fight over it and come to just sleep during youth service. They'd come and sleep, and I'd have adults approaching me like, are you going to wake them up? I'm like, why would I wake them up? Let them sleep. You know, I don't care. Let them sleep for a little bit. You know, I'm not going to fuss with these kids. So they come in to play some video games before service when it's time to preach and all like that. Then they're on that beanbag falling asleep. And I'm like, how do I get them? Because I'm trying different things like I did in the past and it wasn't working. Taco Bell wasn't working. So I said, one of them had hit me up on Messenger and said, hey, can I borrow $2? I'm like, you can earn $2. He's like, how can I do that? And I said, DoorDash with me. I mean, it just popped in my mind, like DoorDash. Me and my wife DoorDash a little for extra money sometimes. And I'm like, you do all the work. I'll drive the car. We'll DoorDash. I'll buy you snacks and I'll buy you dinner. Hang out with me for 3-4 hours a night. And, you know, 1 or 2 nights a week, whenever you want. And anything we make extra, it's all yours. Here, he starts doing this with me for a few times. Then his sister's like, hey, I want money. I'm like, come DoorDash. These kids just wanted some snack money. And that's then a amazing friend joined in. So we had 3 people, radio up, windows down, just letting them talk, letting them share about school, their life. And here are these kids that are totally disconnected in the church. We start connecting in the car because it's just the 4 of us. We're laughing. You know, these kids are making nasty smells happening. They're making funny jokes. So there's all these things, so these, like, as they're making gas and they're making jokes and we're just being light. We're just doing life together. Relationship just naturally starts happening. Then they're calling me, asking me, hey, I'm having a test come up. Can you pray? Or, you know, then they start plugging into church and, you know, just things start happening when the relationship happened first. I got to go out, hang out with some kids. They were doing DoorDash and then they got the money for it. But then I was also building relationship with them as a second thing. And so then that turned into, once they knew that there was this trust that was built there, I wasn't out there for nothing. I could have been at home, you know, playing Call of Duty with you, you know, we could have been at home playing Call of Duty, but I was out there just riding with them and just loving on some kids. And we had a blast. It was so much fun. Simply, again, not expecting these kids to necessarily get it in my program or at our church, but us going to them and doing something that they want or something that they need.
Yeah.
And helping them. So they wanted some money for some snack money for the week. I'm like, all right, work for it and I'll help you and build relationship that way. So there's been many ways there. I can think of one more way. We had a kid that couldn't come. He was in every sport, wouldn't come to any youth service because he's always in practice and always in sports. So what we did on Wednesday nights, we couldn't do it every week. I wouldn't take kids from church every week, but 1 or 2 games a season, we take our church bus and take our whole youth group to watch them play sports. Cause he's, you know, totally disengaged in service when he is there because he doesn't really know many people. He's very rarely there. So we took our whole group to him and celebrate him. And we all decorate poster boards and flyers and just come totally decked out. And everyone in that stadium knew who we were there for. The one
That's
kid.
Awesome.
And so I just think a lot of times these disconnected kids, we just got to get their heart. We don't have to try to win them over with entertainment and try to come this, you know, change our whole program around for them. But us simply coming down to their level and us coming and finding their need. Like, what are they interested in? You've dealt with special needs. I have several times had autistic kids in our group. It's hard to connect sometimes with autistic kids because there's specific things that they like. But again, yeah. If they like anime, board games, whatever it is that they like, you let them teach you how to play. You teach them, you have them teach you about, you know, certain anime that they like. And if it's, if it's reasonable that you should be watching it, then join in with them. I'll show you this. This is Naruto. And this just got signed at the Chicago Comic Con by the lady who voices Naruto. And I got into this because of a student collecting Funko Pops. 15 years ago, I started collecting. Well, this year I got this signed at Chicago Comic Con because I started watching anime with a student. And I mean, crazy. I don't watch anime, and you know, my wife certainly don't let me have toys all around the house, but I just started doing something because another kid liked doing it. And
yeah,
because when I started getting involved with that, then other kids are like, wait, you watch anime or you collect Funko Pops? Then they realize this other kid's, you know, a lot cooler than they thought. And so when you just get down on their level, and you got to do it genuinely, Brent, you got to do it with like, you have to be genuine. It just can't be something that, because they'll catch on quick if it's not authentic. Yeah.
You can't just fake interested.
Yeah, you can't fake it. They'll know. And you just love them genuinely. And there's some kids that, and they'll bring these Yu-Gi-Oh cards and they're, you know, dropping all these different moves on me. I'm lost. I'm like, I can't hang with you. I don't know how to do it. I'm too old.
But I just played this card. I thought this card would win.
I get totally lost. Now that's your thing, not mine.
But bro, that's a Pokemon card, not a Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Bring Pokemon on and I'm in.
Yeah, but I mean, what a great just mindset and example of like, in order to reach those students, especially the students that you know that have been there that are just not connected at all, man, just show them that you're interested in what they do. And it was one of those things, so yesterday I was at a career fair because I had a friend put on a career fair, and they asked me, they're like, come do ministry. And I was like, heck yeah, I will. And so I drove like a really long way to go to a career fair for a friend. And so with that being said, I had like probably 6 or 7 kids come talk to me, before I put up the impossible Star Wars trivia game. And then I had a few more. But with that though, one of the things that happened is I was talking, and a kid came, or I had 2 kids come up at the same time, and they're supposed to ask these questions. And the question they asked was, what's your favorite part about youth ministry? And I was like, man, that's a good question. I was like, it has to be the relationships. I was like, the relationships that I get to build with students, hands down, are the, like, it's why I do what I do. I mean, I was like, granted, don't get me wrong. I said, I love Jesus. I was like, Jesus is everything. But like, my favorite part about my job is building relationships and showing them that Jesus is worth it.
Yeah.
I said, but I can't do it without the relationship first. And both of them, I mean, if I had to like just glaze by their outward appearance, gaze at their outward appearance. If I had to gaze.
Is that a fat joke? You gotta throw on glazing, like I'm gonna, you're trying to reach me? Yes, I was in. When you said glaze, I was like, really? Tell me more.
Gaze at their outward appearance. I definitely think that with that, I probably would have stereotyped them as not Christian. They were definitely probably not involved in church. They probably would not have been the most popular kids in school that asked me this. Just by outward appearance. And it was just one of those things. I don't think they were expecting my answer. And so they were like, oh, that's a great answer. Like, that's a really good answer. And it's just one of those things. It's like, sometimes I think the stigma and the stereotype of ministry and pastors is so much like, we only talk about Jesus, and this is, we have to follow this exact structure and do this. But like, man, Jesus didn't say, come to the church and find me. He said, come find me and I'll lead you to God. And so with that, like, that's how all of the disciple making practice was. Sure. I mean, you can reference times that Jesus taught in the synagogue, but like, 90, I would say a lot more of his time was spent outside of the synagogue than inside. And so using that time for Taco Bell, or using that time to DoorDash, like, I mean, how cool is that? It just gives you opportunities to where you can be the person that shows them that they're worth it. And I think more than anything, teenagers, and we have this conversation all the time, teenagers struggle with identity. Going back to our episode with Brad Griffin, he talked about like the three big questions that teenagers have. And the first one is, who am I? And so they're looking at the world around them, trying to find this answer of, who am I? And if you step in and say, hey, you're worth it, they're like, I am. And so you have this huge opportunity to step in with Taco Bell or Funko Pops. Is that what you said?
Funko Pops.
I don't collect those. I am a Marvel fan, and I do.
Hold on a second. You're a youth pastor, and you don't have a Funko Pop?
I don't, man. I might need that signed one that you just got from Comic-Con.
No. I'll get you that one.
But no, with that though, like, you find what they're interested in, and obviously I use Marvel and Star Wars because those are the two things that I'm heavily invested in. And you just use that as an opportunity. Man, talk about crazy stuff. And if they go down, like, deeper down the nerd pool than you, man, just embrace it and run with it. Sponge and it. If you don't know anything about what they're talking about, like you said, dude, learn.
Yes.
What is it going to hurt you to spend 15 minutes researching what anime is, or like what Naruto is, or anything like that?
My wife gets so upset with me because when I have a new student that has a new thing that I don't know, Star Wars X-Wing game. Have you played
Rogue Squadron? Heck yeah.
Yeah. So here I am getting on Amazon, buying all these TIE fighters and pieces and ships and things for this game. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm doing. She's like, do you know how to play the game yet? I'm like, no, but I'm learning. And so this kid comes to church the next Wednesday night before church, we have hangout, and I'm sitting down and I got my ships all built and ready to go. He's like, what do you got here? And I'm like, I'm ready to play, teach me. He's like, you went and bought all this stuff before we played? I'm like, bro, I'm in. Let's do this. I love Star Wars, and I've never played this game, but, you know. And she's like, why do you do that? I was like, because I'm a kid at heart.
Sure.
So connecting with these students is fun. Yeah. It's fun for me. That's like you said, it's the best part of our job, being able to connect. Once you make that connection with a student that's unconnectable, non-connecting, that when you feel glazed or like what when you just feel like they're just not, I gotta get a donut today. When you just feel like these kids are not connecting, and you're able to make that connection with them, it's like, bam, this is why we do what we do. Because the one that seems unreachable is almost like not a challenge or a game, but it's almost like, again, it's just a fun part of the job, because it's like, I know they're here for a reason. I know God brought them into my life for a reason. And if they're in a chair in your room, you can reach them. That's why they're there. God knows.
100%.
God knows what he's doing. They could go to any other church, and they could meet with anyone else, but God allowed them to be there with you. So you do a little work, a little research, a little listening. Sometimes you don't always enjoy what they're teaching you. It might not be something you enjoy. And then you could turn around that 15 years later, now you're collecting Funko Pops and getting them signed at Comic-Cons. They, you know, it's just what happens when you connect with kids. So
yeah,
it's a blast. No.
That's awesome, dude. 100%. I can't argue with that at all. And so we've talked about the students that are there that have been there for a while, that you know who they are, but they're really not connecting. But how do you specifically go about reaching students that might not be from a church background, or maybe they're just new believers and they haven't been around for long? Obviously, even if a kid's really, really unconnected, we still know their name. We probably know their parents. We know what school they go to. We probably, through the grapevine, know what activities they do, stuff like that. So there's really a lot of ground to hit right off the bat. Yeah. Where we can, like the kid in sports is like, you, dude, we're going to come celebrate you in sports. That's awesome. Like, we know that you're on the baseball team or whatever. Yeah. And how do we go about finding this opportunity with kids that we might not know so well?
So when it comes to different places to find students or to reach kids that aren't maybe in your group now, I think a lot of times is really relying heavily on your, you know, getting youth leaders. I don't care what size church you are. If you have 5 students, 50 students, or 500 students, you find people in your church. We find a young married person that still loves to play basketball and relive his high school days or her sports days, playing softball or whatever it may be. And you get them plugged in and you go to a softball field and, you know, do a cookout and, you know, offer free hot dogs and just come and play, you know, where the kids are at hanging out. And, we've had students, and like I talk about these kids that were doing DoorDash with me, they weren't plugged into church. They had, you know, no idea about the Bible at all. Their language, that what they said, you know, wasn't church talk. Some of the things that their recreational things outside, things that they were doing at home, you know, not allowed in the church, you know. And so they get in the car to DoorDash and they got a link. They're cussing, they're talking about smoking pot, they're talking about, you know, doing this and doing that. And it's like, so how do you reach these kids that don't know anything about the Lord? And it's like, soon as they know you're a youth pastor, so the first thing they start doing is, I'm so sorry, Pastor Ron. I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't mean to say that. It's fine. It's okay. And I don't think that, you know, jumping down their throat every time they make a mistake, because just them being in your presence lets you know that they're wanting something. They're willing to learn, or they're willing to, I mean, they're willing to at least apologize when they make those mistakes. So take that for what it is, that, listen, this is a work of sanctification. We're not perfect yet, that it's going to take time to mold them and shape them. And just like Christ, it took for us, you know, God's still working on us. So we have to be patient with these kids that aren't, you know, biblically smart or church smart and don't know all the talk that we know and this Christianese stuff, and they just don't get it yet. But they will. It starts first, you know, taking them fishing. It takes, you know, going to a lunch or going to a sport or getting plugged into where they're at, and then not putting expectations on them to immediately, you know, be ready to be a deacon in the church. They're not ready yet.
Yeah.
Don't set so high of expectations on these kids that they don't ever want to come back. Love them where they're at. Love them through the process. And then when you, again, build that relationship first, you think of all the times that Christ went after disciples and went after people.
Yeah.
I mean, in the horrible conditions that he found them in, but he was patient enough, and you look at just even the life of Peter, how many times Peter stepped out of his place, and even God from heaven had to say, be quiet, this is my son, let him speak.
Stop it!
You know, and so that's how we have to be with these kids that aren't churched, is realize that, you know, it's going to get messy.
Yeah.
Being a shepherd, messing with sheep is dirty. And not feeling defeated because they might slip and say a word they shouldn't, or talk about a certain topic they shouldn't. Because if you start correcting them, and I'm not saying that you don't correct them, I'm not saying that, they'll be quick to correct themselves before you even have to most of the time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just say, hey, should you be talking about that kind of stuff in my car? Oh man, y'all, sorry, Pastor Mark, you know, and just loving them through that, not beating them up over it, and just walking the walk with them. Yeah. Hey, before you get out of the car tonight, I want to read you a couple scriptures, and I want to pray over you before you go. That whole trip, we were just talking about school, video games, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But at the end of the night, we close, and I say, hey, I'm going to read a couple scriptures for you, something that's on my heart, and I want to just pray over you for this week. And just as you love them through that whole time in the car, you're loving them enough to share Christ with them. You're loving them enough to pray over some things that they're going through that they need prayer for. And it just shows that you're available. Yeah. You're not beating them over the head the whole time, making them, you know, you're going to church and you're going to do, you know, no, just love them. Love these kids. And as you're patient with them, you know what? They're going to be patient with you too.
Yeah.
You know, we might not have it all together. We might not know how to reach these kids, but as you show concern for them and love for them, they'll be patient with you too.
Yeah.
Cause they get it that you love them.
That's awesome. Totally good. Yeah. You've kind of already answered my next question, but I want to make sure you don't have anything else to kind of throw on it. You've talked about students that you've seen kind of grow from having this moment of where they're uninvested to starting to be invested to fully invested. And you've kind of seen this process grow. Other than that, obviously, of seeing the kids with kids benefit from that and seeing them become invested, are there any other benefits you've seen from just like that you've personally witnessed going in and doing this?
I think making the connection to having a relationship with Christ is the ultimate goal. I want these kids to feel connected to church. As they feel connected to church, then their lifestyles start to change. Their plans and their purpose for the life starts changing as they start getting, you know, more aligned with scripture and with God. But yeah. I think one of the coolest things that I've witnessed is as they make the call of God in their life. You know, they come from a background where they're not in church, they're not living for the Lord. You invest in them, you love them, you kind of work with them through the process and through their mess. And then you watch them make a decision for Christ, but not only a decision for Christ, but then going further to answering a call on their life. That right there is just like icing on the cake. I had this one young man. He wasn't going to church. He wasn't living for the Lord. I called him. I'm like, hey, why don't you come? This was back 15 years ago when we were on laptops playing. Can you remember the old game we used to play, this old army game? Huh? What is it? I don't know. And my son's in the background. He's my video game kid trying to help me remember. But we used to sit in a laptop and play LAN. You ever play LAN games back in the day? And so every day after school, he'd come over and hang out playing video games with me. And then one day his dad called and said, hey, you got like 5 acres behind your house. Is there any way I could put my RV back there for my son? He just kind of wants to just hang out from there and then leave from there for the day. So he graduates, he stays at my house for 6 months in an RV behind our house. He comes in every day to either play video games. He eats dinner with us. We do devotions together. We do this for 6 months. This kid starts living with us. He's living out behind our house. We're seeing him grow. Not a church kid, starts getting involved in church, gives his heart to Christ. He starts become a youth leader, helping serve in the youth. And then one day he comes to me and goes, I'm leaving. And I was like, what do you, he's like, I feel like God's calling me to go to Bible college. He answers the call. This kid now, he is right outside of Joppa, Missouri. He's a youth pastor at a large church, doing way more things than I could ever imagine. Married with kids. I mean, just doing wonderful. And then you look back and you see where this kid started from. And it was just simply from reaching out and making a connection and a relationship with them through a laptop and a LAN game, you know, shooting each other, you know, on the battlefield, and just a relationship that turned into, you know, him answering a call of Christ and the ministry that God had for him. That's incredible.
Yeah. And all it took was you being there.
Yep. Just.
And you involving him in the life that you already had going.
Yep. Letting him see what we do. And that kind of goes into why we started our ministry at the table, because of these students. They're reaching these unconnected. We want to do that the same for our families and our community. That's why we started at the table, because everyone is welcome at our table.
That's
how many times have we built relationships with our teenagers outside of, how many times have your kids been at your house, or have you, how many times have you been out to lunch with them, or you've sat down with them and you've had conversations outside of the sanctuary or outside of a church service where you connect with them better at your table? And I'm like, God, this is it. This is exactly what, you know, make it bigger. Instead of just reaching just kids, reach families and in your community by breaking away all these expectations, breaking away all these, this is the way it should be. And just loving on people simply over breaking some bread together and breaking open the Word of God together and just loving people where they're at.
Yeah. That dude, that's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Man, you're a rock star. Definitely amazing. So as we, dude, such a great, great, great conversation. Outside of this conversation, would you direct anybody to specific resources or a specific something that you've used in the past to kind of direct where you've kind of landed with this approach?
Yeah. If you know me at all, I've got shelves and shelves and shelves full of books. And most of them I've never even finished. I love listening to podcasts, but my main go-to is other leaders. My main go-to is if I have a question that I need answered, I go to my group of youth pastor buddies on Facebook. Finding a group of people that you can connect with, either our DYM Facebook page, or, you know, there's different local groups. I have about, 10, 15 youth leaders here in our community that we talk all the time and text. That's my biggest resource is, stealing from my friends, stealing what they're doing. If I find out something's working, it's mine. I'm taking it. It's mine. So I'll call a friend of mine. I'll say, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And he'll share with me what's working, or she'll share with me and say, this is what we've done and it's working. I'm like, okay, it's mine now. I'm trying it. And if it works, it works. And so I think the biggest resource is to just find a mentor.
Network.
Yep. And network. Find someone to hold you accountable. How many students have you reached this month? How many new kids are coming into your ministry? What have you done to reach other kids? Like, we got to continually have the mindset that we're not through. So have someone that's accountable to you, that's, holding you up to this standard of keep reaching new students. Think outside the box, and then have someone help you. How do you think outside the box? What are you doing? So networking is probably my biggest resource. I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm typing notes as I'm listening. So I'm just going to cut this when I actually edit this. So we're pausing for a second. Travis, I'm always trying to throw episodes that we've already done that kind of talk on this as well.
Nice.
And so Travis Deans is with the National Network of Youth Ministries, so I'm gonna tag his. And then also Blake Durham, my youth pastor, I had him on the show, and he did one called Finding Common Ground, which is a lot of like what you've talked about, finding that thing that you can get in the door with. So gonna kick back in right now. All right, man, dude, that's so awesome. Thank you so much. And then finally, our last question of the day is, obviously, I've known you forever, one of my best friends, but with that being said, how can other people get connected with the amazingness that is Mark Beasley?
Well, I'm boring, but I have the old people social media, Facebook, YP Mark B, and then Instagram. You can find me, the YP Mark B. And then at the table.men for our youth and for our church coming up. So just love to, I'm here anytime if you want to network. I love talking to people about the Lord. I love talking to people about relationships. So if you're stuck, if you want prayer, You want to connect, have some ideas. I'll give you everything I've ever done. I'll give it to you. You know, I'll tell you everything I've ever done, what works for me and what hasn't. So yeah, the YP Merc B on Instagram and Facebook, at the table.men, for our socials, for our new ministry. And yeah, always willing to connect, and love on you and pray for anyone that wants to connect.
Man, that's fantastic. Super grateful for you, buddy.
I love you, man.
Grateful for all the conversations over the past decade that we've had.
Yeah, even over better than youth ministry. You know, you've always carried me in Call of Duty and Fortnite. And so you've been there for me even more than a networking buddy in youth ministry. It's always saved my life. Yeah.
But one last piece for everybody that's listening to this. I've mentioned this a few times, and I've had a couple other buddies on the show that are a part of this youth pastor group that everybody keeps referencing, just like Mark did a couple times. So when I was a youth pastor at my last church, I was about 3 or 4 years into youth ministry. We moved to a new church. The church was 5 hours from my family, 6 hours from my in-laws. We just had a newborn baby. We knew nobody. The Download Youth Ministry Facebook group, and at the time there was youthmen.org Facebook group. I think that might still be a thing. And so with that, one day I just got on and I was like, man, I need to talk to some people. Like, would anybody be down for joining a Google Hangout? Cause Zoom wasn't really a thing back then. And I was like, would anybody just be willing to join in on a Google Hangout and come talk about life and ministry, and like, man, just talk for a little bit? And so I started this one question, a couple people hopped on, and it became a weekly thing for like 7 years, to where we every single Thursday got on and we would spend the first hour and a half, 2 hours of every Thursday morning just fellowshipping with one another, talking about struggles, talking about successes, talking about life, family, everything. And we built that relationship just like what we're talking about now. And because of that relationship, I always say that I have probably 10 to 12 lifelong friends, and I've met two of them, like in person. Yeah, yeah. And with that being said, like I feel like I know Mark better than I know most people, and I've never met Mark in person. Yep. And it's just one of those things, like I needed that networking. I needed that opportunity to where I had other people to connect with and talk with. And just having that opportunity is important, and it's really, really special. And it can allow you to have that sounding board for when you do need someone to talk to. So like Mark said, he's more than happy to do that. Russell, David, and myself are all also happy to do that. So if you are listening to this and you're like, man, I could use that connection, I would encourage you to do that. We're also going to link in the show notes two episodes that go in with this conversation. One of them is the importance of networking with Travis Deans. He is on staff for the National Network of Youth Ministries. And it's super, super important that you get plugged in and get connected with a network in your area. And you can find more information on how to do that with that episode, or you can go to nnym.org and you can just basically type in where you are and they'll say, hey, we know youth pastors here, like all around, which is super, super cool. And you can get plugged into a community that's local in your area. And then the other thing that we've been talking about this whole deal is finding that aspect of the common ground that you share with the student. Maybe you have to research it, maybe you don't, but Blake Durham did an episode with me on finding that common ground. We're going to link that in the show notes as well. But buddy, man, I am so pumped, so excited to finally have you on the show. And what a way to close our second year, as next week is our live 100th episode, where me, Russell, and David are going to hop on and do some live stuff, giveaways, everything like that. But what a way to end the second season of our podcast with you, man. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your heart. Thank you, buddy, for all that you do. But until next time, we will catch you guys. And hopefully, if you're listening to this, you tune in to the live show that is next Thursday, April 20th at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to have giveaways. We're going to talk to some guests that we've had on the show in the past. And then we're also going to give you an opportunity to chime in too, where you can join the podcast if you've been listening to us. And we're going to talk to you and ask you what your favorite episodes were, and just kind of have some fun next Thursday at 10 a.m. Central Standard. It'll be live on Facebook and YouTube, and we hope to see you there. But until that time, or until the next time you're listening to a podcast, hope that your ministry is going well, and that you are doing your best to reach the students that God has put on your ministry. Have a great week. That's all we have for this show. If you're a frequent listener of our podcast, all that we would ask of you is to do your part to get our podcast out to the greater student ministry audience. Share our podcast with your youth pastor friends on social media, or tag a specific episode that really stood out to you. Either way, be sure to tag us in the post with your favorite platform by using @TalkStudentMen. Finally, if you'd like to be on the show in the future, reach out to us on social media, send us an email, podcast@studentministryconversations.org, and we would love to set up a time that you can come on the show with us. Hopefully you enjoyed the conversation with Mark. Fantastic topic. And just a quick reminder that next week, April 20th at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, we are going live on Facebook and on YouTube for our 100th episode, which we cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun. So many different opportunities just to have conversations and have some giveaways. And we cannot wait to see you, and hopefully you join us live. If you don't, you can always listen to it later in that afternoon on Apple or Spotify or any of the other podcast players that you listen on. But until then, we hope you have a great week, and we will see you next time.